Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you come on board with us today. As we face the issues, it's always our joy to have you participate in the dialogue and the discussion. Let me remind you, lest I forget it. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That's the telephone number that gets your call directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can hear your dialogue and discussion and your input. We're going to be dealing with a very, very important, very somber, very serious issue today that I believe every Christian should respond to. Every Christian should have insight and direction from the Word of God. You need to participate and take part in this broadcast today. I believe that it is worthy of hearing your voice on this issue. We're going to be talking about today the socialists want to close the churches. Or a better title perhaps would be weaponizing government against the churches. We're talking about Beto O'Rourke and his statement publicly. He's one of the socialist Marxist Democratic candidates for president. And Beto O'Rourke says that it's time that we cancel the 501c3 tax-exempt status for any church that does not embrace sodomite lifestyle. We'll talk about that in a moment. Before we do, let me remind you that when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. What does the Word of God say? How does God handle the issues that we're talking about? Are they current? Are they modern? Are these issues that are old-fashioned and yet modern today facing us time and time again? I say that they are, and I say that we need to face the issues based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then the Lord Jesus himself identified truth. He said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible doesn't just contain truth. The Bible doesn't just have occasional truth. The Bible is the totality of truth from cover to cover, from Genesis through the book of the Revelation. The written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God is truth, bound in a cover for you and for me to allow God to speak to us, give us insight and direction for our pathway each day as we face the issues. Truth is a subject that many are not interested in anymore. Zechariah 8:6 says, speak every man truth to his neighbor. When you try to speak truth, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes, in fact, many times in society today, it's rejected. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we're seeing taking place in our world today. There's a revulsion, a rejection, a rebellion against the truth as it is proclaimed. And as a result of that, the churches are becoming more and more in scrutiny and under the light of governmental inspection for the government to literally be weaponized against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment company, dealership, specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals that may be looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner. Brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries all of the hurricane preparedness equipment, generation backup, and all the hurricane cleanup equipment, and other tools and utensils and equipment for the homeowner for landscaping and lawn care, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flagpole is standing, with the old glory flowing 24/7, the United States flag. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, the intersection of I-295 and St. Augustine Road, Old St. Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know that we should ever in any way cease to be surprised at what comes out of the socialist, Marxist, leftist, Democratic Party. I don't know why it would amaze us anymore. Each day we hear new breaking news, as it's called on the fake media, and many times it's breaking news in dealing with what the socialist, Marxist candidates for president's doing. But ladies and gentlemen, you may have already heard a report out of the recent LGBTQ, that's the Sodomite town hall meeting put on by CNN, where the meeting for the socialist, Marxist, Democratic candidates and the hopefuls for presidency were meeting. It was a CNN-sponsored event. Don Lemon was asking the questions. And Don Lemon asked Beto O'Rourke, that wannabe presidential candidate, a socialist, Marxist candidate, he asked, Don Lemon asked the question, do you think religious institutions like colleges and churches and charities should lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage? End quote. And without missing a beat, Beto O'Rourke says yes. He made further comments about the religious organizations, including churches. And he made those comments. Let me just read you. We've got several articles that we'll touch on during the course of this broadcast today. Title of this article says, Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke, end tax-exempt status for churches that oppose gay marriages. And this comes from, ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Shackerford, which is the president, CEO, and chief counsel of Liberty First Institute. And this is what the article says. Do you think religious institutions like colleges, churches, charities should lose their tax-exempt status? Beto O'Rourke said yes. He went on to say, there can be no reward, no benefit, no tax break for anyone or any institution, any organization in America that denies the full human rights and full civil rights of every single one of us, end quote. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, he went on to say he made a pledge to make it one of his priorities as president to strip churches of their tax-exempt status. O'Rourke's threat is a direct affront to the constitutional guarantee of religious liberty. His outrageous call to end the longstanding benefit to houses of worship is a dangerous attack, ladies and gentlemen, on one of the most fundamental rights under the First Amendment that we have as U.S. citizens, the right of religious institutions to operate according to their deepest hell beliefs based on the authority of Scripture. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, not only is the idea legally wrong, it's bad policy, according to Shackelford in this article. Recent studies show that religion contributes an estimated $1.2 trillion to the U.S. economy annually, more than Google, Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft combined. And as you know, churches and religious organizations have an enormous impact on our local communities where services are promoted and encouraging of people in the community. Ladies and gentlemen, the very first and most important question that should be asked. Should government control Bible doctrine and theology? Should government be in control of our churches? Should government call the shots as to what is preached and what is taught and what the Word of God says and how we should respond? And the answer to that question is a resounding no. Government has no authority, no business in involving itself in the theology, the doctrine, and the preparation, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in any church. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 through 19, we find a good indication, an illustration where King Uzziah tried to enter in the church's business. The scripture says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up and for his destruction, for the transgression against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And the priest, in fact, 81 priests, the chief priest and 80 priests said, King Uzziah, don't do that. That's the responsibility of the priest. He ignored that, and the scripture says he was very wroth, that is, he was angry, bent out of shape. The scripture says in verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth while with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, for beside him the incense altar. And the Lord God himself struck him, killed him, took him out of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, I've used that many years as proof positive text. There is a separation of church and state where God says the government, if you put it in the young blood vernacular, thou shalt not enter into the house of God with your policies and regulations and rules on what the Christian, the church, is supposed to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful if we embrace any rules and regulations and guidelines that allows the government to come in and tell the church what to preach, what to embrace, and what to say and do. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Cory Booker twists the Bible verses to further LGBTQ agenda. Democratic presidential candidate Cory Booker of New Jersey on Thursday used the Old Testament Bible verses to buttress his support for LGBTQ. Booker was responding to the UCLA student who attended the all-girls Catholic school in New Jersey. She complained that her high school would not allow an LGBTQ plus club. Booker used Micah 6:8 as he responded. Quote, it is said in Micah, oh, what do you want from your Lord? Oh, what is it you want from your people? Booker said, which is to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. And so for me, Booker said, I cannot allow a leader, I cannot allow the people are going to use religion as a justification for discrimination, end quote. He was basically agreeing with what was said by Beto in relationship to stripping churches of the tax-exempt status. So now, what are we to believe? That standing on the solid, written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that condemns sodomy, somehow, some way, Nance, to be concluded to be discriminatory in any fashion? I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question, the comment, please.
It's interesting to see how far we've come or how far we've fallen and so quickly. Years back within that group and that lifestyle, your LGBTQIAP, however many letters they'd like to add to the acronym there. They said that they just wanted to be able to do what they wanted to do in private and be left alone. That was the contention. And within a few years, the demand was that we redefine the marriage. And, having read and studied the Constitution for a very long time, I can't find any provision within Articles 1, 2, or 3 to allow the legislature to willy-nilly change the definition of a word, or to, Article 3 to allow the judiciary to willy-nilly change the definition of a word. We're in a very dangerous place when a judiciary can say that this word means something totally different than what everybody has come to believe it means, or for 2,000 years we've accepted that it believes, 4,000 years we've accepted that it believes marriage. If they can redefine the word marriage, can they also redefine the word foot? I mean, we have an office weights and measures. We have an official U.S. foot, imperial foot. We have an official foot. It's exactly 12 inches, and we know what an inch is. We have a definitive inch. We have a definitive pound. We have a definitive troy ounce. All these things are absolutes. What if we take an absolute and change the definition? They changed the definition of the word marriage. And that affects contracts across the United States. It affects, algorithms when the number crunchers with all these different companies crunch the numbers. They do it based upon a single individual having a particular set of parameters and a married couple having a set of parameters. And when you change that, everything shifts. But again, there's no provision for in Article 3 for the U.S. Supreme Court to change the definition of a word. But literally just 5 or 6 years past the redefining of the word marriage, we're dealing with transgender kid issues. We're dealing with, homosexuals being taught to grade schoolers. We're dealing with drag queen story hours. We're dealing with people advocating, I think in the state of California, they've already decriminalized AIDS-carrying prostitutes. They no longer have a potential felony hanging over their heads for having shared an incurable disease, AIDS. You know, we've allowed men into women's restrooms. I mean, the big North Carolina deal is back. The NBA said, we're not going to play any games there. Those people play games in communist countries, but they don't want to play games in North Carolina where they passed a law saying, hey, you know, we don't want men in women's restrooms or vice versa. You know, this is a twisted world and how quickly we've fallen away from the standards and historical norms that we've enjoyed for hundreds of years.
Well, everything is shifting. As you know, Greg, the shifting is shifting to the left, because we can look at our socialist, Marxist, Democratic candidate that's running for president, and they've already, well, this shouldn't surprise us, wanting to take away the 501c3 IRS tax-exempt status from churches if we don't embrace, if you don't approve and celebrate the Sodomite lifestyle. Look at what they've already said they're going to take away if they go into office. All of them have had their little mantras, what they want to take away. They want to take away the right to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment. They want to take away the right to have gas and oil and airplanes and gas-powered cars and cows and tall buildings under the new Green Deal, they call it. They want to take away any borders to secure our nation. They want to take away the private health care that Americans have, some 180 million. They want to tax into the realm that it will take away all income from a number of people. They want to tax us into total dependence upon the governmental agencies. And here's Beto O'Rourke now that clearly takes position. He's already said that our Second Amendment, he's going to, quote, come and get your guns, confiscate all guns. In fact, the question was asked to him on that setting at that time. Do you mean that the government will go and take the guns? He said, if they don't turn them back in and let us buy them, we'll go take them. He said he'll confiscate all weapons, United States of America. Now where they have admitted that they're going to take away our First Amendment right, that First Amendment right to for religious liberties and the freedom of speech. They're very forthright of what they'll do if any one of them goes into the office as President of the United States.
I think it's almost like a punch list. You know, these folks on the left, predominantly within the Democratic Party, are systematically, point by point, trying to dismantle the Constitution of the United States. I mean, you just articulated a series of points here. You know, Article 1 dealing with freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, they've already infiltrated the press. More than 90% of the press supports the leftist agenda, supports the socialist, communist, Marxist agenda, supports the radical dismantling of babies, dismantling of commerce, dismantling of everything that we hold near and dear. So they've already invaded the press. They've already hamstrung, or what do you call it, disabled a portion of religious liberty. You go to California, they're passing one law after another, systematically disabling religious liberty, and they've used every agency of government to attack Christians and believers. Keep in mind, when a leftist sues a baker, they sue a Christian baker. They don't sue a Muslim baker, a Buddhist baker, or this, that, their other.
Or a
they
Sodomite
sue a
baker.
Christian baker. Or they exactly. You know, by the way, there's a website that administrator of the website called 13 different bakers and asked them to bake a cake for a traditional marriage, traditional family celebration. All 13 bakers said absolutely no. Many of them in the most vile, horrific language you can imagine. You know, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander kind of thing. You know, none of those bakers got sued, by the way. But my point is, there's a radical agenda attacking or assaulting Christians particularly. Even though some of the belief structure within Christianity matches some of the belief structure within other religions, why is Christianity particularly under assault? And this knucklehead Beto O'Rourke, what's his first name? I forget. Robert something or another. Robert Francis. There you go. So
Robert Francis.
He wants to go by a Hispanic sounding name, I guess, to ingratiate himself to that group, that culture. It's absurd. I mean, we've got Pocahontas over there that claims to be an Indian. This guy wants to be seen as a Hispanic. Just call yourself what you are. Go by your real name, people. Stop playing these games. But He particularly, let's assault the Second Amendment. Elizabeth Warren, let's assault capitalism. The notion, you know, private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation. That woman takes it an extra mile in dismantling that portion of our Constitution, and she says, not only do we want to raid your earnings, but we want to step into your savings and say, if you save this much money, we want a percentage of it, and we want to directly transfer this to people that will vote for us. I mean, how in the world do you get more atrocious? How do you get more aggressive against the Constitution than to dismantle these components one by one?
And here's something that's interesting, Greg. Most are not aware of this, and our listeners need to be brought up to speed with some of the background of the Democratic Party. Here's an article that says, is there anything the Democrats won't ban? Question mark. And then I'll read just two brief paragraphs of this five-page article. It's date of September the 15th, 2019. The Democratic Party has always been the party of control. They demand control over the lives of slaves. When slavery was abolished after the Civil War, they still tried to control blacks with the establishing of the Ku Klux Klan, which brought intimidation, threats, and death, and many other tactics. They were also to control what they wanted also to control what the black community did. The ultimate purpose was to ban blacks the right of the freedoms we all have the right to do. Democrats, liberal socialists took a life different, look at life different than the real people do. They believe that their ideology is superior to all others. William F. Buckley Jr. once said, the Democrats don't mind other opinions but are shocked when one is brought forth. If they don't like guns, they then believe that they should ban them. If a conservative doesn't like guns, he just simply doesn't buy one. If a Democrat believes in abortion, they demand the government pay for it. If a conservative doesn't believe in abortion, they don't get one. Democrats believe their ideas are so good, there should be laws in place to enforce them on everyone. End quote. And that's exactly where we stand. And it's the socialist Marxist agenda. And when we say socialist, Greg, our listeners need to understand socialism is communism light, L-I-T-E. And that's exactly what we see when they're wanting to weaponize the government to close churches. And that's exactly what they're talking about with Beto O'Rourke. And by the way, it's not antithetical to the statement, what we're saying. It was the sodomite that's with CNN, Don Lemon, that asked the question to Beto O'Rourke. And by the way, it was a setting set up by CNN with the audience being made up of the LGBTQ agenda and the LGBTQ people. And therefore, it was a staged show, if you will, to simply appease the sodomites in the audience with what the candidates for president are saying. This article says here, CNN Tonight hosted nine back-to-back town halls with 2020 Democrat presidential candidates. This one was exclusively for the LGBTQIP, for pedophile community. And there were nine main things that they talked about, nine key lines from the CNN's LGBTQ town hall. The candidates took questions on lesbianism, gay, bisexuality, transgenderism, queerism, issues from a live studio audience. Beto O'Rourke said Thursday that religious institutions should lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage. And this article, Greg, is frightening. Time won't allow the broadcast to read it. But it goes into the takeaway from each of the candidates and what they said. And all of them were on the CNN LGBTQ agenda forum. Cory Booker, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Beto O'Rourke, Amy Klobuchar, or whatever her name is, Julian Castro, et cetera, and Tom Steyer. And each of them, Greg, not just Beto O'Rourke, but each of them said almost the same thing in relationship to forcing churches and citizens in general to not just approve, but to embrace and to celebrate the sodomite lifestyle. And the whole bottom line was, the mindset is, if churches are not willing to conform to the demands of the socialist, Marxist, leftist, communist agenda, then somehow, some way, there should be the penalization of it and the weaponization of the government to close the churches. And that's what it's tantamount to. This same Marxist, socialist, Democrat, Beto O'Rourke, described himself as being a white privileged, and he's a wealthy, wannabe presidential candidate, that said he would remove any southern borders, and no walls, no borders, no guns, and now he's saying no God and no church.
These folks are interesting in that their hypocrisy always shines through. steadily the language of the left was, you, speaking to Christians, you cannot impose your morality upon us. You cannot legislate morality, is what they oftentimes said. Now, the same group, the same folks will oftentimes choose to put their immorality upon believers, to legislate their immorality, and not only to make it legal, but to impose it upon us by virtue of teaching our children that their immorality is not only just and good, but sometimes superior to. You know, they would like to spend a month teaching our children all of the great things that homosexuals have done historically. Now, it's interesting to note that they choose a sexual proclivity to celebrate. And, you know, that's been done in other cultures. That's been done at other times. You know, if you really want some, you know, history of the LGBTQIAP movement, if you want to teach history, well, let's go back to the original instance of that, and we'll see the picture of Sodom and Gomorrah. So if we're going to teach history, LGBTQIAP history, we're going to need to start there. But I'd say to Beto O'Rourke and his claim, his call for potentially stripping churches and religious institutions of their 501c3 status, I'd say, you know, these sorts of things, this attack on Christendom, began elements of the revolution. If you look back to Patrick Henry, 1775, you still with me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We look back at Patrick Henry in 1775, and there are a few other names. You know, everybody knows the name Patrick Henry, but I think few will know the names Lewis and Joseph Craig and Aaron Bledsoe. Now, those were some folks that back in 1775 in a little town in Virginia, because of the crown's authority over the colonist, these folks were arrested, and their charge was for preaching the gospel of the Son of God in the colony of Virginia. For preaching. Now, keep in mind, folks, we've come full circle. We're 240 years post this chaos, and we're coming to the point and the place again where a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a believer could be arrested for doing nothing other than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind, the gospel, the good news, is from Genesis to Revelation. We have the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revealing of God throughout the Scripture. And if you share that, according to Beto O'Rourke, you're a hate monger. If you share that, you ought to be criminalized somehow or another. If you share that somehow or another, your right should be taken away. Now, keep in mind, Henry went. He wrote about 50 miles to go and defend these three men that were, again, being charged, being tried for preaching the gospel of the Son of God. Now, he went, oh, man, what an orator. I mean, right. He remembers his, give me liberty or give me death.
Yes. One of the things that I find so antithetical, Greg, is that we take taxpayers' money, and we pay for the sodomite indoctrination in our churches. We take taxpayers' money, and we pay for Planned Parenthood and their indoctrination in our public schools from kindergarten through university level. We use taxpayers' money to indoctrinate our students about the Islamic jihadist in our public schools. But now, only the Salt and Light Society, that's the churches and the pastors, only these now are willing to be closed, shut down, and the cancellation of the 501c3, the tax-exempt status, because we're not going to approve or embrace the sodomite lifestyle. Greg, we've got to take about a one-minute break for our news, top of the hour news, and right after the break, we'll continue this dialogue and discussion. Let me remind our listeners to hang in there. Don't turn your dial, but stay tuned for Let's Face the Issues, because after we have our news break, we're going to come back, finish this dialogue and discussion today. Socialism wants to close our churches. It's weaponizing government to induce and to force pastors and churches to embrace the LGBTQ lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.